has a bit of time. Now being chased. Lance throws. He's looking downfield. He's got a receiver. And it is caught. Jimmy Smith at the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Play action. Brunell. Deep drop. Pressure coming. Turns and Clancy's looking for Jimmy Smith down the sideline. Smith gets behind the covers. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Play clock running down. Back here comes the blitz. Brunell turns and leads the ball, and he's looking for Jimmy Smith, and it is caught. Jimmy Smith got it. He's on the run inside the 10. 5. Touchdown, Jimmy Smith. His third of the football game, 40 yards, and he's got 287 yards receiving.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in. Welcome in, everybody. Jaguars Today on this Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter, Akina McCardell, about 15 minutes away from joining us here. The thunder to Jimmy Smith's lightning. We spent yesterday in large part talking about Jimmy Smith's now eventual induction into the Pride of the Jaguars, which was announced yesterday. You got to hear a little bit from Jimmy Smith on his conference call, and we're hopeful that he'll be joining us live on the program today a little after, Tony. But you got to have the thunder before you can get to the lightning. That's kind of the way it works around here. And I'm with you. I think
it's backwards.
You know, we talked about it yesterday. Jimmy, I think, stood above. You know, if you're going to ask who is the best tandem, okay, fine. But who's the best wide receiver in team history? Jimmy Smith is the answer to that question for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he gets inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars in December. And as we mentioned a moment ago with Dan Hicken, defensively, that's what we're looking for today. That's our question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Who will be the first defensive player ever inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars? It could be someone whose career is done. Maybe you think it is somebody on the current roster. I do tend to think someone will get in in the next couple of years, if not the next person to get in. I don't know if they're going to plan on doing one a year. One a year seems a little aggressive to me in terms of total players for a franchise that's been around for just over 20 years, Tony. I don't want to see it fill up too quickly, you know, because you want to leave room for the truly exceptional. And Rasheen was, in terms of this franchise, was as good as it got as a defensive back, for instance. But he wasn't necessarily regarded as one of the best out there. You know, one Pro Bowl in his career, and that can sometimes be a product of the market that you play in and the team success and all that too. But
yeah, I mean, I talked about this last night too on my show again, with it being the day that Jimmy goes in, and I don't know. Coughlin and Mojo seem like the reasonable candidates to be the next guys to go in. I don't know that anybody defensively in this team's history deserves to be in the Pride of the Jaguars at this point. And look, I'm okay with Mark Brunell being in the Pride of the Jaguars. I wouldn't have voted for Brunell to be in the Pride, but I'm okay with him being there, kind of the same way I feel about Keenan. I'm not anti-Keenan being in the Pride of the Jaguars. I'm just not all for Keenan being in the Pride of the Jaguars. And the reason being, I can make a legit argument for Boselli, Fred Taylor, and Jimmy Smith for the Hall of Fame. I can make arguments for those guys that they deserve that kind of consideration. I'm not saying that they'll all three ever be there or that any one of them will ever eventually get into the Hall of Fame, but I can make real arguments Absolutely. For those guys to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I can't make that argument for Brunell. I can't make that argument for Keenan. I can't make that argument for anybody who's played defense here in a Jaguars uniform, and I think we've done enough in Jacksonville to honor the teams from 96 to 99 and as good as they were. We've done enough to honor those teams. We need to be able to leave some room for the future of this franchise. They haven't been good enough to keep putting guys into the Pride of the Jaguars. It's kind of like they do up in Green Bay. And we had this discussion at the Super Bowl because the last couple of years, 2 years ago, we talked to Dave Robinson, who just got into the Hall of Fame. He had been a Packers Hall of Famer for a while, but just got into the Hall of Fame up there in Green Bay. And he was so excited. And we asked him, well, what's the big deal, basically? And he said, well, once you can be in the Packers Hall of Fame, but once you get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they put your name on the stadium. And that was a big deal for him. It was like, my name's going to be on Lambeau forever.
Right, the name didn't go on there for those guys until they actually made the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So Marv Fleming is a Packers Hall of Famer, but he's not a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So he doesn't have that honor, you know, in that stadium. And I'm not saying the Jags have enough history to do that kind of thing, but I think there needs to be a standard north of, he was a really, really good player. It needs to be more than that to get that kind of honor, and I'm not sure that anybody defensively in this team's history is more than a really, really good player.
And I would agree with that. And by the way, I said three times as many for Henderson. Stroud has got three. Henderson's got two Pro Bowl appearances. But those guys, again, much like, I think those guys are much closer, in my mind at least, than Jimmy and Keenan were. Even though they were a tandem and inseparable in the minds of Jaguar fans while they played together, and understandably so, I think there was more separation between the careers of, at least in a Jaguar uniform. Keenan McCardell went on to play good ball and win a Super Bowl and score a couple of touchdowns in a winning Super Bowl effort to go with one that he got. I don't know if he was on the practice squad of the Washington Redskins early on or what, but he got one basically as a guy who didn't play a whole lot with the Washington Redskins. But he's got two Super Bowl rings, two more than I'll ever have. Certainly he's coming up in a few minutes. So weigh in on that today. Maybe you agree with that, or maybe you think just based on the trend, the way things are going with the Jags' willingness to seemingly put a guy in every year, at least for now, that we'll see a defensive player that's retired in sooner rather than later. That's the question of the day. Who will be the first defensive player elected into the pride of the Jaguars, or inducted into the pride of the Jaguars by the organization? So, what do you got, Tyler Devitt? You look like you're champing at the bit there.
I got nothing. I'm excited for today's show. It'll be fun. And I have a great Jimmy Smith story that I pulled from the Football Life. Is that what it's called? The documentary series with Keenan and Jimmy they did on the NFL
Football Life, yes.
I pulled a great story that hopefully will intro the Jimmy interview with it, and it'll make him laugh.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. Keenan McCardell coming up on the other side. 641-1010. If we have time to take some calls today, that's the way to do it. Or you can give us feedback on the text line driven by Duval Ford at that number as well. On Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. If you want to weigh in on the question of the day, the Facebook page for Jaguars Today is also up and going this morning with the question of the day. So sit back, enjoy, hopefully, Keenan, followed by Jimmy Smith shortly thereafter. Bold City Cap in the second hour today, talking about everything going on with the Bold City Brigade. It's all coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yo, can't even break it all night. Number 87 on the other side. Down 7, time to ride. Touchdown on my mind, let's go. Won't stop till I get that zone. Throw it to me, Brunel, I'm hoping. There's the stands, praying, hoping. It's all good. Touchdown, you can knock on wood. Yeah, believe that. Pittsburgh, no. Baltimore, no. Can't stop the way the game goes. Super Bowl bound.
What do you say right there, Tony? Throw it to me, Brunel. I'm open. If that weren't the intro to Keenan McCardell, I don't know what would be. That's from the classic, Jaguars going to the Super Bowl back in 1999. They came up just a game short. But we've got the Thunder to Jimmy Smith's Lightning joining us right now on Jaguars Today. Good morning to Keenan McCardell. Keenan, how are you, buddy? Thanks for the time.
Thank you. I'm doing well, man. That was my quick rap song, my quick debut of being a rapper, huh?
Has anyone ever asked you to, do you still remember your piece? Do you remember the lyrics? Could you, if someone, like, walked up to you, they were a Jag fan, and they said, Keenan, I love that song. Can you do your lyrics? Do you remember what all your lyrics were in that?
I can remember some of it. You know, it was funny, when I was coaching at Maryland, my receivers found out, and you know, and they played it in the media room, so it was funny. You know, it was fun, and I think I can remember some of that.
Well, we were not going to make you sing it, don't worry, or rap it, as the case may be, but I think you did remember that line, hey, throw it to me, Brunel, I'm open, throughout your 6 years here in Jacksonville. You probably said that a few times, huh?
No doubt. I mean, shoot, through my whole 17-year career, I'm open. I never was covered. That's every quarterback that I've played with, they understand Keenan's never covered.
Keenan, we know the news coming out yesterday, Jimmy Smith going into the pride of the Jaguars, obviously a great honor for a longtime teammate of yours. What were your thoughts when you heard the news about Jimmy going into the pride?
It was about time. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, you know, he's an all-time lead receiver in Jags history. So, you know, why not him? You know, he should be there. You know, things that he's done for the city and, you know, for that team, you know, it was time.
You know, Keenan, when we have guys like you on, we always ask you to look back on your career and some of the big highlights that you remember. And certainly you starred in the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Bucs. But when you think back as a teammate of Jimmy Smith, are there a moment or a couple of moments that stand out to you that, you know, you look back and say, man, that is just a sweet memory?
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, you know, we can, I can look back at the game in Baltimore when he had 12 or so catches for like 200 something yards. I mean, some of the things he did that game was just kind of amazing. Then, you know, I can remember vividly, we were playing New England in the playoffs, and, you know, I'm running the out route, Mark throws a deep ball, and I'm looking at the ball like, there's no way Jimmy's going to get this ball. And he puts on the afterburners and run by Ty Law and just goes and gets it. And it's like, you know, those memories, you know, you see, you know, those things you see all the time, and you just, you know, you don't forget them, you know, and then it's like, wow, you know, and you realize that, you know, we were a special bunch of players, you know, playing together, you know, when we first got there, you know, it was two guys that nobody really gave a shot. We had to, you know, put on, you know, make people know who we were. And every time he went out, that's what our motto was, let everybody know who we are, you know, every time we went out.
Keenan, talk about that a little bit, just the journey for you to wind up in Jacksonville, you know, 4 years into your career, you're finally getting the opportunity to really start for the first time when you get here. But just talk about maybe that offseason leading into the 96 year when you do sign with the Jags.
Well, it was funny, you know, I was leaving Cleveland, you know, we just had had our last game in old Cleveland Stadium. You know, team was getting ready to leave to go to Baltimore, and, I become a free agent. I actually thought I was going to San Diego. You know, it was funny. Corey Mayfield that was there the 95 season. We played them in Cleveland. The 95 season comes and he was saying, you know, man, Coach Coughlin is a drill sergeant, this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. So that year right after the season, I come home. He was here in Houston, and he said, "Man, don't you come to Jacksonville? It's gonna be you're gonna be like you're in the army." I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'm not coming there. I've heard the story." So, you know, it just so happened, you know, me and Jimmy have the same agent, and you know, and Jimmy was already there. So I go to San Diego. I go to Carolina. My agent calls and says, you know, Jacksonville really wants you to come down and and take a visit. I started laughing. I said, oh, no. He said, no, just do this for me. Just go down and see what's going on, see what they're talking about. So I go down, and I come down to Jacksonville and have a meeting. And the meeting went very well, you know, and I just kind of started to think about it. Tom was very straightforward with me. Michael Hugh was very straightforward with me. Mr. Weaver, all those guys were very straightforward with me. And, you know, something about Tom just caught me. You know, I just had left Bill Belichick, so, in Cleveland. And they were really two of the same people, you know, and Tom just, you know, was a little bit more fiery. And I knew what I was getting from him, you know, straightforward, you know, straight to the point. Plus, it was an opportunity for me to play, you know, and I was like, you know, this is a place where I could jumpstart my career. So I take about 10 minutes after I talk to those guys and call my agent and say, you know what, I think I'm coming to Jacksonville. He laughed. He said, I thought you wasn't going to Jacksonville. I thought you didn't want to be in the Army. I said, well, I'll tell you this. They're pretty straightforward with me. They're telling me what I wanted to hear. I'm going to get a chance to be play. I'm get a chance to lead the team, and I said yes. So I come back home to Houston after I signed the deal. Corey calls me and said, bro, I thought you wasn't going to Jacksonville. I said, well, I am a Jaguar now, and it's been the best thing, you know, that had ever happened to me, you know. And it was just jumpstart my career, get a chance to play with Mark, Jimmy, you know. And then how Jimmy became a starter, you know. When I got there, Andre Rison was the guy, you know, was with me. And, you know, Jimmy just outplayed him, and, you know, it's been history ever since.
And I tell you what, you did take advantage of that opportunity. Just in a Jacksonville uniform in 6 years, 499 receptions, 63-93 in terms of yardage, and 30 receiving touchdowns here just in your Jaguar days, 63 total touchdowns in your career, over 11,000 receiving yards. Keenan McCardell, our guest this morning on Jaguars Today. Keenan, officially for the Jags, training camp will open tomorrow to be on the field for the first time. Do you look at these guys these days and say, training camp, I don't recognize this? Give us a story from a Coughlin training camp that would be indicative of just how hard those camps were back then.
Man, we used to, I mean, one of the things that Coach Coughlin was big on was uniform, you know, and, you know, nowadays, you know, they wear whatever, it's kind of light, you know, he always used to tell us, don't come outside with your Bermuda shorts on, you know, and that's when you have your pants above your knees, you know, and, you know, now guys come out all the way above their knees and this, that, and the other, socks pulled up, you know, he didn't want any footies, you know, guys wear footies, and I used to be like, you know, we're going to stay cool. Coach Garvin was like, I want long socks, pants below your knees, and you know how hot it is in Jacksonville. We're like, man, we need to breathe a little bit around here, something. You know, and every time you think you got a chance to sneak by him, he would send you back into the locker room to put on some longer pants. He'd tell the equipment guy, go back in there and give him some longer pair of pants, or go back in there and give him some longer socks. Everybody's going to be dressed alike. That's how much of a disciplinarian he was, but it made you better. I mean, I think, you know, those times, you know, we knew it was hot, you know, this time of year for those guys, this is the best time of year for the Jaguars to get better than everybody else in the league. Because I tell you this, Coach Coughlin always told us, let the heat be our, you know, let the heat be our friend, because when we get teams down in the Jacksonville Heat, it let the heat destroy them, you know. And I remember vividly, we played the Pittsburgh Steelers on opening day, and we put them in black, and it was a miserable day for them, because when the heat was our friend, and by the third quarter, they had no more gas. And Coach Coughlin came in after the game and said, see, I told you heat was our friend. And he said they stopped playing after the third quarter, and he was right.
Keenan, you got here in 96. Jimmy was already here. Fred came in a couple years later. Tony Boselli was here. How quickly did you realize that there could be something pretty special going on here in Jacksonville?
You know, after the first year, I think we realized how good we in 96. You know, before Fred got there, we realized that, you know, we had players, we had guys that were hungry. You know, I know Coach Coughlin and Mike Hughes had put together a team players that we just gel. You know, we enjoyed it. You know, I think the thing that brought us together was that, you know, Tom was so hard on us, and we were like, man, we're not gonna let him break us, and it brought us together. You know, and then we realized after a while, after we went to Denver and the championship game and New England, and came back after the off season, we realized that, oh shit, we got a really good coach, and you know what. You know, as much as we want to moan and, you know, and do those things, we got a guy that really knows football and really knows how to put a team together and get us ready to play. And, you know, we started adding pieces when Fred came in. You know, things just start to come together. You know, if it wasn't for the salary cap, we'd probably all still be there. You know, I think that was the thing that kind of broke that team up, because we knew that we could play. We knew we could count on. We knew everybody's weaknesses, everybody's strengths. And, you know, it was just a fun time. You know, I think the 99 year, you know, we fell short by a game. I mean, and it hurts to this day. You know, we felt like we were the best team in the NFL that year. I mean, and hands down, I mean, it didn't even matter.
Keenan McCardell, by the way, as many know, but in case you don't, the first Jaguar wide receiver to make the Pro Bowl. He made it in 1996, a year before Jimmy made it out to Honolulu. And Keenan with us for a couple more minutes. Keenan, you and Jimmy, a very prolific tandem. got a pretty good tandem starting off their careers here in Jacksonville with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, what they've been able to do over the first couple seasons of their career. Just overall, as you look at the roster of this team and how they've worked to improve it this offseason, what do you think about the Jags' chances in 2016?
I think they have a great chance, and I think the offense is going to have to hold on for a little bit until all the young guys on defense step in and start playing well and start understanding the game. You know, I think, it's going to be some shootouts early, and that's kind of what's going to happen because you're being so young on defense. You know, the running game is going to have to step up. You know, I think, those guys, with the new additions, they'll be fine. And Mr. Yeldon, he'll pick up, he'll have a better second year. I think, with the additions on defense, the pieces that they've added on defense, I mean, it makes them faster, it makes them younger. It just depends on how, how fast they catch up on defense. Because on offense, people know what they have to, who they have to stop. But, when you have a connection and a chemistry like Blake and the Allen brothers, it's going to be hard to stop.
Keenan, I'm looking at NFL history right now. There are 45 players in the history of this league that have had 10,000 receiving yards in their career. You're 30th all-time right now, 11,373 yards in your career. What do those kind of numbers mean to you personally?
It means a lot. It means that, you were on top of the, you were one of the better, one of the best guys that ever played the game, say, 30th in yards, and I don't know where I'm at in receptions. I mean, it's kind of, I think I finished like ninth or something like that. Somebody was telling me that the other day. It's like, do you realize you finished ninth in the NFL? And I was like, yeah, it's part of the game. I went out and played well and had a great time. What I tell them, you enjoy the time that you're there, because when it's gone, people are going to pass you up. And I just tell them that. I mean, but right now to say that I'm still in the top 40, it's pretty amazing, and it's been fun. I would love to be playing right now the way they're throwing the ball around the yard right now. I mean, it's like flag football sometimes. So it would be fun. I laugh when some people say, they get 16 attempts a game. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, we could barely get eight if we wanted, because we were so balanced, at Jimmy on one side, me on the other side, Fred running the ball, or it was Natron or James Stewart running the ball. We were a run first team, and then we knew what we had to do.
All right, Keenan, as we wrap up here, we're asking folks today, when you look at the pride of the Jaguars, once Jimmy goes in, you'll have Baselli, Brunell, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith, and, of course, the Weavers, Wayne and Dolores, have been inducted into the pride as well. Who's the first defensive player that you think will merit inclusion in the pride of the Jaguars? Who would you say?
The first defensive player?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. I could say Kevin Hardy. I'm going to say Kevin Hardy.
Kevin Hardy. He's the one who stands out to you from the years you played here in Jacksonville more than the others.
I would say Kevin Hardy right now. And to be honest with you, the guy that, I'm an old school guy. Jeff Logan would be a nice one too also.
There you go. I'm sure he'd be happy to hear that, and he's probably listening right now. Keenan, we appreciate it, man. We look forward to seeing you in December. I'm sure you'll be in when Jimmy goes up in the pride, and hopefully one day we'll see Thunder join Lightning up there with your name on the stadium, man. We appreciate the time today. I know, though it's Jimmy's day yesterday, I know it's a big day for you as well because of what he means in your life and your career. So we appreciate you coming on to kind of talk about that for a few minutes this morning.
Oh, it was great, man. I mean, he deserves it, and you know what? It's going to be a nice day in December when he gives his speech and all that. Everybody be proud.
No doubt about it. Keenan, thanks, man. We'll see you somewhere along the line this 2016 season. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. Keenan McCardell pairing with Jimmy Smith, Thunder and Lightning. Tony, they're practically inseparable with the exception of yesterday, right? And
yeah.
It's fun. Keenan, still has so many great memories, and it's clear to me he may have won a Super Bowl at the Tampa Bay Bucks. He did his major damage in the NFL in a Jacksonville Jaguar uniform. You think about that, 499 receptions. And think about this. Mark Brunell only threw for 4,000 yards once in his career. 4,000 nowadays is not that high of a benchmark, right? And Jimmy and Keenan did so much damage with a guy throwing 3,000-something yards every year. There wasn't much left over for
anybody and like Keenan said, they were supremely balanced. I mean, they ran the ball very well during those years, too, whether it was Natron Means or James Stewart or when Fred Taylor got here to Jacksonville. They were a balanced football team. That's what Coughlin wanted them to be, and it kind of removed some of the opportunities. They didn't get to play, you know, in the greatest show on turf. That wasn't the kind of offense the Jaguars were running, and the numbers they put up, still just remarkable what they did.
All right, we're still efforting Jimmy Smith, hopeful to catch up with him before the show is done today to honor his announcement that by the team yesterday that he will be inducted in the Pride of the Jaguars coming up in December. Thanks to Keenan McCardell for joining us today. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. I'll let it wash over you right now. Uh-oh. Here's the thing. Uh-oh. Don't release this until you get to at least to the Super Bowl, right? I think that's a cautionary tale for future Jaguar generations.
I'm sure Coughlin was thrilled.
Oh, you know he was delighted to hear this song. Did they ask him to rap on it, Tony?
I doubt it.
I kind of doubt it as well. Thanks to Keenan McCardell for joining us. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Wednesday is on Jaguars Today, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter for all-size plumbing jobs, residential plumbing, commercial, industrial, septic systems, heck, even restaurant grease trap service. If it has to do with plumbing, the call to make is to Metro Rooter at 695-1911. They come to my house whenever I have an issue, and I've had a few. Metro Rooter has had the solution. Same-day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. Those are the reasons that Metro Rooter has been serving Jacksonville so well since 1978. Visit them online at MetroRooter.com. Call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of the program here today. Thanks again to Keenan McCardell for joining us, efforting Jimmy Smith right now. He's got a lot of media pulling at him right now. We're hopeful to either catch up with him today or sometime this week if it's not today, but still hopeful that we're going to get him on before the show is out today. Bold City Cap at the top of the hour will spend some time with us in hour number two, Tony, as they've got the Bold City, what is it, the Bold City Ball? Is that what they call
it? Yeah, the Bold City Ball coming up.
Coming up, which will benefit the Blake Bortles Foundation. Jags on the field tomorrow. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the number. As somebody sent in on the text line driven by Duval Ford, they said something to the effect of, if you, here it is, feel like if the Jags add a player a year to the Ring of Honor, it will look more like the Ring of Honorable Mention, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier in the show. I agree with you. The fact that Brunell's in there doesn't bother me per
either.
Se, but it does, I think, lower the bar between near Hall of Fame level credentials to get in. And, you know, look, if that were the case, the Jags had a very short list of guys with near Hall of Fame credentials. And the three you mentioned topped the list. And with Jimmy, you know, getting his personal life in order, I think they wanted to wait until he had it more in order. And it seems like he does. You hear him talking yesterday at the press conference, you know, giving a lot of credit to God and his faith, his newfound faith, and said he's been blessed in a lot of ways in his life. And I know if you're a real Jaguar fan, hopefully you're pulling for Jimmy to continue on the right path.
No doubt. And I think it's a vote of confidence from the organization that they make this declaration that Jimmy Smith's going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor. We've all been thinking for a while that they were kind of waiting on Jimmy to be right before they were going to do that because they don't want to get embarrassed with something with Jimmy Smith. And so this is kind of the organization putting their backing behind Jimmy Smith again, which is nice to see. We had the opportunity to talk to him a few weeks ago, and he sounded good and sounded excited about the opportunity to come to Jacksonville at some point this year. Well, now he knows when he's going to be here. He's pretty clear on when Jimmy Smith is going to be in Jacksonville this year, when he's going to be inducted into the Pride in December. And to be clear on the Mark Brunell thing, I got no issue with Brunell being in the Pride. I don't have an issue with it. I think for a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of fans that I know of the Jaguars, Mark Brunell is still their favorite player of all time. right? Like, he still holds that kind of place, I know, for a lot of fans out there. I don't have an issue with Brunell being in. I think there is a concern with going forward, are we going to continue to put guys in that are on that kind of level as opposed to the level that, honestly, Boselli and Taylor and Jimmy Smith are on? They're on a different level of what they did on the playing field.
They are. Compared to those guys, they are. But, again, the case for Mark Brunell is a decent one. With three Pro Bowls, he was Pro Bowl MVP. Not that that's the most important thing in the world, but he helped get the Jags to two AFC title games as, you know, leading a high-powered offense, despite the fact, again, Mark Brunell's touchdown numbers were never eye-popping. His yardage numbers were never eye-popping, with the exception of the 96 season when 4,300 was still a good bit, and that held up until last year when Blake Bortles topped 4,400 yards and set the franchise record for yardage. Keenan was talking about he believed he was ninth. Don't give me that. Keenan knew exactly where he was, I have a feeling, when he retired. Now, since then, as he's kind of pointed out, a lot of guys have passed him on the career receptions list, but I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that Keenan actually has more catches in the National Football League than Jimmy Smith does. He has 21 more catches. And again, you wonder, you know, if Jimmy didn't retire prematurely, which clearly I think he still had something left in the tank, coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Two of his nine that he had in his career, I think he could have squeezed out a couple more seasons and maybe, you know, put himself over 1,000 receptions in the National Football League, which would still stand up pretty well right now, as only 13 guys in NFL history have 1,000 or more catches. That includes a lot of guys that have just recently gone over that mark. Andre Johnson with 1,053, Jason Witten, 1,020, Larry Fitzgerald, 1,018, Anquan Boldin, 1,009, Hines Ward has exactly 1,000. All of these are very recent names that have played in the National Football League in really from the 90s on. That's what dominates the receiving marks in the NFL. It's just a different game out there right now. All those guys, Anquan Boldin, by the way, just caught on with the Detroit Lions, so he'll try to add to some of those totals. Anquan Boldin, the Hall of Famer to you?
Borderline.
Yeah, he's not to me.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I mean, it's not a guy you necessarily throw him right out of the conversation.
Right.
1,000-yard seasons for Anquan Boldin, but, you know, never super explosive. He was a very good player. And I think Anquan Boldin and Keenan McCardle are kind of similar guys in terms of being tough, physical guys, you know, that could take a pounding, do the dirty work if necessary, but also hit you over the top for some big plays. Anquan Boldin scored 74 touchdowns that he'll be trying to add to that mark in his career. Some pretty good career numbers, but again, in today's age of wild passing statistics, likely not going to get him much serious consideration, I don't think. He'll get talked about for the Hall of Fame, but I don't think it'll get that far.
And Anquan, again, it's kind of the same thing that we were talking about a moment ago with what was going on with the Jags, even when Jimmy and Keenan were together. Anquan never played on any pass-happy football teams. Not a ton of that. Like, he just wasn't around that much. I mean, he was a little bit in Arizona. A
couple of years with Kurt Warner,
right?
Yeah.
But 7 1,000-yard seasons, he's doing that in Baltimore and in San Francisco. I mean, he's doing that in places where when he got to Baltimore, they were a run-first football team. When he got to San Francisco, they were a run-first football team. He wasn't around that a whole lot, and he was still able to put up those kind of numbers. He was a really, really good player for a long time in this league, which is why he's borderline. You know, he's not Randy Moss. You know, Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You know, there's a handful of guys that you're just like, you mentioned them here in the last 10 years in the NFL at that position. They're Hall of Fame guys. T.O.'s a Hall of Fame guy. And it's trying to compare, you know, the Jimmys and the Anquans and the Keenans of the world to that. That's what the Hall of Fame looks like. And I think Jimmy's a lot closer to that argument than anyone else that we've mentioned here.
Although Anquan did have a hell of a debut with 101 catches and 1,377 yards as
good.
A rookie.
Pretty good.
With 8 touchdowns, not too shabby. But again, those numbers in today's game, the final tally, he'll get passed in the next few years by another wave of guys coming up in his rearview mirror. All right, coming up next, we've got This State in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Bold City Cap's going to join us in hour number 2, talk about everything going on with the Bold City Brigade. And we're still hopeful to catch up with Jimmy Smith before the show is done today, as we continue along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tyler Devitt here with you. A question of the day: which is the first defensive player, or who is the first defensive player that will get inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars somewhere along the line? Maybe it's a guy who's done and been long done, Keenan McCardell through Kevin Hardy out there is the best that he played with. And maybe it's a guy who's currently on the roster. You can weigh in on Twitter and on Facebook with the response to that. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, let's get down to it. This date in football history, Tony, on this date in 1973, something actually happened that was NFL-related. It was the 40th annual Chicago All-Star Game. Man, we used to live and die on these on this date in football history, it seemed, right? The All-Star Game pitted a group of collegiate All-Stars versus the previous year's Super Bowl champions. And in 1973, they played the undefeated Miami Dolphins, and Miami won it 14-3. Pretty similar to the 14-7 score that they won the Super Bowl over the Washington Redskins. I don't know if Garo Yepremian had any mishaps that led to the three
right.
points for the college
Can
All-Stars.
Can you imagine, like, in today's day and age?
Denver Broncos going to take
right.
on,
whoever. Next year's first round of the draft, basically taking on the Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Like, how crazy that would be.
Yeah, because nowadays everything's about liability and nobody's going to get hurt. Are you kidding me? You're not going to work out any more than you have to for a team. Never mind play against the defending Super Bowl champs and not get paid for it. Famous birthdays for this date. Irv Cross. You probably don't remember Irv Cross on CBS like I do growing up. He was an analyst and a commentator for CBS Sports from 1971 when he became the first African-American to work full-time as a sports analyst on national television all the way up until 1994, in addition to his work on the NFL coverage on CBS, including co-anchoring NFL Today from its inception in 1975 through 1989. Cross did NBA basketball, track and field, and gymnastics. He was a recipient in 2009 of the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award, given annually by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, recognizing longtime exceptional contributions to radio and television and professional football. And also, oh, by the way, was a two-time Pro Bowl defensive back, primarily for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 1960s. Irv Cross, 77 years old, still going strong as far as I know. Born on this date in 1967, former Jaguar offensive lineman Jeff Novak turns 49 today. Former longtime Colts defensive back, now most recently with the 49ers. I think he might have re-signed with them as well just this offseason. Antoine Bethea turns 32 years old, three Pro Bowls for him. And Ryan Tannehill really seemed to be on an ascending path last year, a bit of a step back, although he still completed over 61% of his passes last year and had about a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio for the Miami Dolphins. He turns 28 years old. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Dallas Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory could be seeing his four-game suspension expanded because of another violation of the NFL's substance abuse policy. Gregory is expected to be entering rehab and is not expected to report yet for Cowboys training camp as he seeks treatment. The Green Bay Packers have placed wide receiver Jordy Nelson on the team's PUP list with a knee injury. Nelson tore the ACL in his right knee last year during the preseason, missed all of the 2015 year because of it. His latest injury is to his left knee, not the one he suffered the torn ACL in last year. They're calling it just a ding, and it could cause him to miss the entire preseason for the Packers. Nelson and Green Bay are saying that they expect him to be ready for week one of the regular season. That, of course, is when the Packers will be here in Jacksonville to take on your Jaguars. Ryan Fitzpatrick and the New York Jets still not close to getting a deal done, according to reports. The last reported contract offer from the Jets to Fitzpatrick back in February, when the team offered a three-year, $24 million deal with $12 million in the first year and the last $12 million split over the last 2 years of that deal. The Jets open up training camp today. Geno Smith expected to continue to get the starters reps while the stalemate with Ryan Fitzpatrick continues. And finally, Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham turned himself in to South Beach police Monday after an incident that involved him allegedly punching a hotel worker in the face after an argument about the speed of service at that hotel. The worker has a broken nose, among other injuries, and was able to identify Bradham out of a photo lineup. He has been charged with aggravated assault, which is a second-degree felony. He has a court appearance scheduled for August 2nd. He is expected to be reporting for Philadelphia Eagles camp starting today.
It sounds like at least the hotel worker was a dude. Not that it makes it much better, just somewhat better. Nigel Bradham making all FSU fans proud in his days going forward. He and IK they're both in the Bills linebacker core. They've got a little bit of a history going on for him. Maybe that backup hotel worker is going to get his big opportunity here, much like Ryan Fitzpatrick did with the Jets last year. You never know.
One more note, the draft, you guys will be going to Philly next year.
Oh, Philly is next
Philly
year.
Philly will be hosting the draft next year. The NFL will announce that later today, I believe.
Interesting. Are we going to... Nah, you know what? I'm just going to leave it right there. Going to leave it right there. I'm not even
going to
say...
Take a picture of the Rocky statue for me.
I am going to dial it back from what I was going to say, Tony, from one of the rare times I will censor myself.
Brotherly love.
Yes, it's all... You and I know all about it as we express brotherly love for each other on a daily basis here on this program. Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars today. I told you, 17.5 pounds I'm down so far in my first week and a half of losing weight. I may go off the reservation on Friday, or I guess, will it be Friday or will it be tomorrow? It'll be Friday, because it's the first one open to the general public. Fan Cam's Chili Cook-Off, the 21st Annual Habanero Chili Breakfast, is ongoing. If you see a crazy man out there cooking chili, that's Fan Cam.
13 right? sausage.
13 sausage, chili, and jasmine rice.
I didn't even know they made 13.
Why not? You know, I'm sure that, they make all kinds of stuff. And Fan Cam is a connoisseur of the chili, and it's pretty damn good as well. And it was a little spicy last year, had a little kick to it.
But nice.
I'll be eating breakfast with Fan Cam this year, so come on out. He feeds everyone for free. It's kind of a tradition. He's been doing it since the inception of the Jaguars. As we welcome in a guy who his organization that he heads up has not been here since the inception of the Jaguars, but is certainly a big part of the fabric of the Jaguars community now. Bold City Cap is how you know him. John Caputo is how his mom knows him, and he joins us here in studio. What's up, Cap? How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for having me again.
Gentlemen, he leads off with.
I figured we'd start out properly, right?
All right,
I
mean, why not?
Tony's back from vacation.
He is.
He's blessing us with his presence, so I'm glad to be here.
This guy takes off more than Frank Frangie these days.
Oh, yeah, me.
That's like his 1 week in the last 3 years that he's taken, I think, by the way. Hey, we know you got a big event coming up in August, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. So let's just start off with just your general impressions. It's been a while since we've had you on. By all accounts around the league, people think the Jags may have had the best offseason of any team in the National Football League. To you, what are the highlights?
I think, to your point, it's been an exciting offseason, you know, to kind of build upon some of the exciting things that took place last season, right? I mean, the offense and some of the young weapons that we have is just it gives us reason to be hopeful for the future. And then I think they just kind of really followed it up, and Dave in a lot of ways put his money where his mouth is and came out and drafted well. I don't think anybody anticipated us. You guys have talked about it a million times on here, but getting both Jalen and Miles Jack in the first two rounds is phenomenal. Spending the money on Malik, I think with Dante coming back, it's if you're not excited right now as a Jags fan, I don't know, when you're going to be excited or what you've been waiting for, because it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had this much to be hopeful about.
So where do you put the bar in 2016? You know, what
I don't
are
make
your
predictions.
Expectations?
I don't make
you
predictions,
don't?
Tony.
Only guarantees, right?
You know, honestly, I stopped. It's been a rough 5 years, 6 years since we started this group, and so much goes into this group that I think I've had to the last few years stop putting my expectations up where, you know, a traditional fan really wants them to be, and now I'm just hopeful that we will see that we'll be in more games and that we'll give ourselves a chance to win. I honestly think we'll end up somewhere between 6-10 and 7-9, you know. I think that's not somewhere between one of those two. There really is nowhere in between those.
one tie, 6 wins, 1 tie.
So I think that's on paper, and the schedule is always looks difficult or easy on paper, and then you never know till it shakes out. But on paper, I think it is kind of a difficult schedule, and that's where I see us at. Anything less than 7 wins, I'll be really disappointed. I wouldn't be super shocked to see 8 or 9 wins. Anything more than that, and I'd be, I don't even know what we would do, to be honest with you.
So like a 9-win season, an 8 or 9 win season to you would be a major step in the right direction.
I think so. I think because not everything exists in a vacuum, right? I mean, you have to look at it from the fact that, that schedule does look kind of hard on paper. You have some good teams on there, some other good young teams that maybe traditionally haven't been good in the past, but they're looking just as bright or as hopeful as we are. So when you kind of juxtapose it with that, I think that, yeah, seven wins, eight wins is a pretty good step in the right direction. I think it keeps Gus, you know, employed, which I'm not against. I want them to do better. I think he has to do better. I think we need more out of this coaching staff from just all the way across the board, whether it's game planning, X's and O's. I think there were games last year where we got a little pencil whipped, but now the talent's there in a lot of the areas. Not every single area yet, but a lot more than we've had in the past. So I think the excuses can't really be there for much longer.
Cap, of course, to most of our audience, they know you're the president of the Bold City Brigade. And when you look at the enthusiasm that has come and ushered in with Shad Khan buying the team over the last 4 years, there's definitely, Tony and I see it and we sense it, even though the record hasn't matched it, mm-hmm. The enthusiasm has been there. What did last year do in terms of enthusiasm for the Bold City Brigade membership? Are you still seeing increasing numbers every year continue to go up? Are people reaching a frustration point? Well, I know you don't speak for every Jaguar fan, but just the general impact that the last 3 years, 12 wins in 3 years, has had compared to the general sense of excitement on BCB membership.
Right. I wouldn't say we've plateaued. I think we shot out so quickly. After the first year was kind of, this is our fifth year, so a lot of what we're doing centers around kind of a five-year celebration, but I know we'll get to that in a
little
bit.
Have you been on a five-year plan?
Yeah, no. Originally, it was a three-year plan.
Was it? Yeah. And then kind of became a four-year yeah. plan somewhere along
then,
the way.
And then we said, hey, why not make it a five-year plan, right? I'm not going anywhere. I don't know about you guys.
It seems to be the thing.
But it's a unique situation with us. I think that if the team takes off and ends up being good in the next few years, the fan base will get larger. And then I think as a byproduct of that, so will we. Where we lie right now over the last couple of years is we're not losing anyone. We're still gaining people. It's much more incremental than it was. I mean, we're 5,000-6,000 members. That's probably where we'll end up this year, last year, and next year. But what you see is, and I only can speak for the people in our group, we see and we hear a lot of people say, gosh, I don't know how I would have made it through these past 5 years and everything that has gone on or gone wrong on the field, off the field, whatever it may be, prior to Shad, obviously, when there was so much up in the air. I don't know how I would have made it through this, and I don't know if I would have come out on this side now that I'm excited again. I don't know if I would still be as invested as I am right now if we didn't have this other outlet to get together with like-minded people and so on and so forth. So that's the real kind of lasting takeaway. And hopefully we're almost out of these dark ages.
Amen.
And we can kind of get to that second period of growth for the group. But in the meantime, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
All right. For people who are not in the Bold City Brigade, we'll talk about some of the advantages of joining up, coming up here with Bold City Cap. But we'll also talk about, just about a month from now, a pretty cool event, the Bold City Ball, which will benefit the Blake Bortles Foundation. We'll talk all about that coming up as well. John Caputo, I know it's confusing. His name is Cap, and he is the president of the Bold City Brigade. He's in studio here with us. If you want to talk about the Bold City Brigade, you got a question or a comment or anything having to do with the BCB, 641-1010 is the phone number if you want to get on. You can also weigh in via the text line driven by Duval Ford at the same number, 641-1010. Back, I know, the text line gets a little racier than the phone calls. We do a pretty good job screening those. Back with more with Bold City Cap in a moment. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I didn't think that, you know, they were real NFL teams. I wanted to go to an established team like the Cowboys and the Eagles. And, you know, my dad was like, son, are you stupid? He slapped me across the head. Look, son, you got to go get a job. You don't have a job right now.
I decided, I know what I'll do. I've got to do something to get that coach's attention.
My mom, without my permission, made this binder, and it had all my clippings in it.
And I say, give this to your coach. And he kind of looked at me.
Well, when you're 20-some years old, you know, you know what I'm saying? You don't really feel like walking into a team meeting room with a binder. And then she had across the binder in bold letters, like 2-inch letters, all I need is a chance. And everybody could see it. It's embarrassing. But I really didn't keep my promise because I didn't actually give it to Coach Coughlin. I gave it to Pete Carmichael. Thank God.
Hey, I think Pete Carmichael being Jimmy Smith's wide receivers coach, that, of course, from a football life with Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell, he did keep his promise, Tony. Here, hand him a scrapbook, and Jimmy Smith, I don't know if it's the book that had any influence on it, but he certainly made his mark here in the city of Jacksonville. And we've got Bold City Cap in studio, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and we're joined now by the greatest receiver in Jacksonville Jaguars history, Jimmy Smith himself. Jimmy, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. What a wonderful morning it is.
I bet you got a little spring in your step today, man. What have the last 24 hours been like for you?
Man, I've just been on cloud nine, dude. It really hadn't hit me yet. You know, it's hit me, but I don't really, you know, is it real? I don't know. Maybe because I'm not there in Jacksonville, and right now I'm making arrangements on what date I'm going to come in there and set up shop, man. But I am just overwhelmed, eternally grateful, and it's just unreal. It's just unreal to get that call from Shai Khan the other day. And, you know, for him to tell me that he's decided to induct me in the Pride, man, it's just unbelievable.
Jimmy, is it something that you had been thinking about? I mean, I think we all knew at some point you were going to get this phone call to go into the Pride of the Jaguars. It's just nobody knew when it was going to happen for you. Is it something that you had just stopped thinking about and it caught you off guard?
You're exactly right. You know, I didn't know that I was going to get a phone call on Saturday. I was thinking, oh, maybe it'll happen towards the end of the season, or maybe we'll get the announcement or the call, or maybe even next year, you know. But I felt that something was going to happen within the next 2 to 3 years. I just didn't know that it would happen abruptly like this, you know. I had no idea that I would get that phone call from him on Saturday.
Jimmy Smith here with us on 1010XL. Jimmy, when the A Football Life documentary came out on you and Keenan, it was such an exceptional piece. They do a great job with those, and I know Jaguar fans everywhere really warmed up to that. But has there been a new generation of fans out there that maybe didn't see you play or don't remember you playing as much, you know, a younger group that may have seen that documentary and now have interacted with you since then and shown you a little bit more appreciation for the career that you've had?
And you know what? I got a secret to tell you. I think they're going to make part two after this one. But I have gained a new generation. It's hard for me to believe that most of the most of the media that's in Jacksonville now, I don't know if it's most of the media, but some of the media that I've done interviews for are telling me, hey, I was 10 years old when you were playing. Hey, I was 12 years old when you were playing. I'm like, really? It's been that long? It doesn't seem like it's been that long since I've been playing in Jacksonville. So the main thing, I'm just glad to, because Jacksonville has always been a small market. We didn't get the respect. When me and Keenan were balling, me and Fred and Mark were balling, we didn't really get our due. You know, we didn't get to the Super Bowl. We got close, but we didn't really get our due. You know, I can remember Fred Taylor. Just by us being in a small market, Fred Taylor didn't get to as many Pro Bowls as he should have gone to. You know, he should have been going to the Pro Bowl just as many times or more times than I did. But it all comes back to having a small market. Tony Boselli, Mark Brunell, Keenan, these guys, we were pretty good guys, and I feel good that we can finally get some national exposure, you know, whether it's me, Keenan, Fred. But with me, I want to take everybody with me. I want to tell the world how great these guys that I played with were. You know, it's not just – I didn't get up there by myself. It took a lot of other people, Coach Coughlin, the Weavers, you know, it took a lot of people to help get my name stamped in that stadium.
Jimmy, we talked to Keenan earlier this morning already, and he was obviously praising you and the time that you had here in Jacksonville. You got here the year before he did. Was there any kind of sales pitch to Keenan when he came through that building from you to get him to decide to be a Jaguar?
No, not at all. I ironically, me and Keenan had the same agent. We've always had the same agent. And I remember getting a call from my agent, Gary Uberstein, one day, and he's like, we just wanted to let you know, but we're planning on getting Keenan signed down there with the Jaguars. And I didn't like it. I didn't know Keenan at the time, and that wasn't something that I wanted to hear. I'm like, how are you going to, I'm trying to make the team down here, and how are you going to get one of our guys down here to compete with me? And my agent said, hey, well, Keenan is a different receiver. You guys are different receivers. You are one type of receiver, and Keenan is another type of receiver. He probably doesn't like to be called a possession-type receiver, but Keenan was that ultimate possession-type receiver. And like Mark Brunell said on that Football Life, Keenan was masterful at what he did. He was the best at what he did. You guys don't really know how much work he put into it, how much he studied the game, how much film he watched. It made him great, and it helped me. It helped me in my career just by having another guy on the other side of me like that.
Jimmy Smith, 862 catches, all coming in a Jaguars uniform, over 12,000 yards, 67 touchdowns, the greatest wide receiver in Jaguars history until this point, and maybe for a long, long time, here with us on 1010XL. You know, we asked Keenan about some of his favorite memories of playing with you and some of your highlights, and he pointed out the game against Baltimore, as you know, oh. Right, the 15 catches, 291, and the three yeah. touchdowns. You know, that was a superlative regular season game. You had big playoff catches as well. For you, what stands out, if there's one that memory that stands out above all others in your playing career?
And man, it's a shame that I forgot about that Baltimore game. The one that sticks out for me is when Keenan went off, I think he caught maybe 16 balls in 96 against the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, that performance right there, I guess it showed the rest of us that you can go out and have those type of impactful performances. Now, keep in mind, even though Keenan caught 16 balls against the Rams in 96 and I caught 15 balls against Baltimore in 2000, we still lost both. We lost both games.
Right.
But it just shows the level, the determination. You know, it wasn't about we don't really brag about how many balls we catch. You don't hear on ESPN, Jimmy caught this many balls this game, or Keenan caught this many balls that game. You hear about it with the other players that were in the bigger markets. But now, since we're getting some exposure, now is the time for us to get that out so people can talk about how great we were in Jacksonville.
Jimmy, 862 catches. You may not talk about it. We'll talk about it. 862 catches, 12,000 yards in your career, 67 touchdowns. Those numbers are obviously outstanding, all in a Jaguars uniform as far as those numbers are concerned. You missed the seasons in 93 and 94. Maybe the career got cut a little bit short when everything was said and done at the end. Do you focus more on what you accomplished, or is there still a part of you that thinks about maybe the little bit that you left out there on the table?
Well, I don't think of it like I left something out on the table. I played 12 years, which is a long time. The first 3 years, I didn't even catch a football. So between, I'll just say between 96 and 2001, you know, I had to double up on the stats, so that's when I was considered the best receiver in the league. I didn't play 15 or 16 years like Keenan, but I got 12 good years in. And I'm just eternally grateful, and I thank God that I was able to even come back from the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles and the surgeries and all the off-the-field stuff, and be resilient to where I'm standing here today talking to you guys.
Now, we're happy that you've made it to this point in your journey as well, and we can't wait to see you in December when you get down here. I'm sure you haven't really, like you said, it hasn't even sunk in. You can't imagine what the emotions are going to be like on that day, huh?
Man,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm, I'm, I'm really frightened. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to cry. I know I'm more emotional now than I'm 47 years old, and I'm more emotional now than I've ever been in my life.
Well,
I don't know why.
If you tear up, I think there'll be a lot of fans in the stands going right along with you at that point. You won't be alone.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks, and I really appreciate the work that you guys been doing, and I can't wait to see you guys either. So I'm getting on Dan Edwards' butt today. I'm saying, hey, get me down there.
Hey, you got an open door policy with us, Jimmy. Anytime,
no doubt.
We look forward to seeing you. And once again, congratulations, well deserved, phenomenal career. Always happy to hear that you're doing as well as you're doing. And again, we just look forward to seeing you and just enjoy this time, man. It'll probably sink in sometime in the next few days. And when it does, just keep that smile on your face all season long.
Thank you guys so much, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right, buddy. There he goes. Jimmy Smith, the greatest receiver in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and will soon be inducted into the pride of the Jaguars December 11th when the Vikings come calling. Thanks to Jimmy for taking some time out. Thanks to Cap for bearing with us on that. Obviously, you know, Jimmy, big day for him yesterday. You look back on the career of those two guys, man, and now to know that maybe we've got the budding next duo in the Allens coming forward to It's a nice way to kind of tie a couple of generations together.
Love it. I mean, don't apologize. Don't thank me. That was great. I would have been tuning in if I wasn't in here. So it was cool. The story of Jimmy, not just as a player, but everything that he's been through over the last, you know, few years, last decade or so. I think I speak for a lot of people in the fan base when I say we're just rooting for the guy, man. And if everything is still on the right path and continues down that way forever, then and how great. And just super pumped for him. He deserves it. I mean, just as much, I think Tony said it earlier when you guys first got started on the show today, he deserves it just as much as anybody else that's up there from a production and talent standpoint.
And so, as he pointed out, it's a tough obstacle to climb when you are an expansion team to get that national recognition. As he pointed out, Fred Taylor made one Pro Bowl in his career. Despite that, Jimmy made five. Mm-hmm. I mean, he rose above that obstacle to be recognized as among the best of the best out there. And, you know, really, you look other than Jerry Rice, nobody's got more 1,000-yard receiving seasons in the history of the NFL. He's tied with Tim Brown for second with 9 1,000-yard seasons. So pretty big accomplishments in the career of Jimmy Smith, who still holds 11 Jacksonville Jaguar records. All right, back to the conversation with Bold City Cap coming up. We're going to detail everything going on with the Bold City Brigade Ball. That's coming up on August 26th, I believe, is the date, which will benefit the Blake Bortles Foundation. And we've had a couple of people texting in and tweeting in, how can I learn more about the Bold City Brigade? How can I become a member? What do I get if I become a member? We'll answer all those questions straight ahead. Thanks again to Jimmy Smith for joining us here on Jaguars today. A little thunder and a little lightning to start your day. Doesn't look like we're going to get too much of that this afternoon. So you got your dose of it this morning here on Jaguars Today. Coming back with Bold City Cap, it's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
First of all, I mean, 2,000 fans, that's outstanding.
I think it's going to be more than that. The Bold City Brigade is like taking over a parking lot.
This Bold City Brigade now, they're unbelievable. You know, to get that numbers to go to Tampa. I mean, I know our players, we talked about it in a team meeting. We will, you know, just about the support, and our fans are coming out. You know, I've said that. They're amazing. They deserve more. So that's what we hope to do.
That's Gus Bradley, your head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, recognizing great, Tony. Let's hope that's the case. I hope Gus, like Cap said, you want Gus to be the guy because he's such a good guy, right? And you want him to be the guy who's the architect or the leader of the resurgence. So let's hope it happens this year as we have Cap here with us. John Caputo, the president of the Bold City Brigade, at Bold City or Bold City Brigade. .com for the website and at Bold City Brigade as well on Twitter. And I know you've got the ball coming up, but let's get down to brass tacks first. Bold City Brigade, for people out there, I think most people have heard of it.
Right.
If they're listening to this show, it's a fan club. What do I do? What are the dues? What does it cost me? What do I get? Just give us the sales pitch or the recruiting pitch for people. And I know it's not the point is not to make money off this. It's to create a sense of community.
Right.
At a Jaguar fan. So how do more people join that community?
Well, the community started when kind of the Dark Ages, were the worst point and where attendance was down. But we still, what we noticed was there was a lot of people still going to the games and still enjoying it. And there was still a good energy there. The numbers weren't as high, but there was still really good energy. So the impetus for the entire thing was, well, how do we harness this energy? How do we kind of bring this together? Because it was kind of all over the place. And that was really the spirit behind why the group was started. It was to just give Jaguars fans, and also at that time, I'm sure everybody remembers, we were getting beat up bad in the national media. The perception of Jaguars fans, if people even thought they existed, was negative. It was not good. And so how do we unite that energy under one umbrella and then use that for good to promote that, hey, we do have good fans and this is a good, a proud city and a proud fan base. And that's the nuts and bolts about behind everything we do, from this event we'll talk about to the trips that we plan to the tailgates. And joining is easy. The only requirement is to be a diehard Jaguars fan and want to join. And then from there, there is a membership fee. It's an annual thing. And that membership gets you a T-shirt, a membership sticker, a membership card annually. It gets you priority things, priority towards events, tailgates. We throw a massive tailgate for every home game with our friends at Teal Street Hooligans. And that, as members, you're welcome to free food and beverage at those. We have partnerships with Fanatics.com. You can save 10% on your orders on Fanatics.com as a BCB member. Other local partnerships with local establishments. So that's kind of some of the things that you get. And then you also, like you said, you get that sense of community. We have chapters. I think when we unveil the chapter page, which we're finalizing right now, we'll have like 17, 18 chapters worldwide now, one in the UK and Ireland, and then another one in Germany. Then we even have some fans in Mexico that are working to start one. So really you're also buying into this huge network of Jaguars fans that is really well connected.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them that I follow on Twitter, and they're out there in cities all spread out through the United States, and as you said, other countries as well. Just kind of a pretty amazing thing to see that grow. And you make trips every year. You make road trips. You had the big Tampa takeover last year with over 2,000, I think, making the trip down there. Got a pair of road trips that you're going on this year. Tell us a little bit about
I guess
that.
We kind of decided, hey, we'll throw the largest fan organized away trip ever, and then this year how do we follow that up? We'll just do two. neither of which will be anywhere near in scope what Tampa was, obviously. Again, have to thank you guys for the help in promoting that and being a part of what it ended up being. Yeah, it was close to 3,000 person tailgate, and we had close to 2,400 tickets sold just through our link. I mean, there were more Jaguars fans down there, obviously, with 3,000 at the tailgate. It was a sight to be seen. It was an insane process and undertaking. I don't know that I'm ready to do it again anytime
on
soon.
On that scale, at least.
But, and that's what we're all about, guys. We are about, I think we've transitioned from having to be vocal about how great of a fan base this is and how diehard we are to, we'll just show you. And that's kind of the underlying theme behind basically everything we do. There's a purpose behind a lot of what we do. And even if it's as simple as, we want to prove and have a great time while we're proving it, but prove to people that we're up there when you need to mention good fan bases. If you're not mentioning us yet, you will eventually.
Certainly passion-wise, no question about it. And the two trips you're taking this year, San Diego in week two, and then to Nashville for the Thursday night game against the Titans, right?
Yep.
And I would assume, if people want more information, if they're not members or if they are and they want to brush up on what's going on, BoldCityBrigade.com is the best place to start?
That is. Well, social media as well. We're huge on social media. You can keep track of that. Nothing official. You can go to our social media. You'll see some surveys about these trips because that's what we like to do. We like to gauge first what the interest is before we even start planning to kind of see what direction we need to go with the plans. So if you go to our social media right now, you'll see those surveys. You won't see anything concrete because nothing is completely finalized yet. We're close in the next 2 weeks. So if you're interested, just keep an eye out on the website and on social media within the next week to 2 weeks.
Is it Bold City Brigade across all the platforms?
It is. At Bold City Brigade, Bold City Brigade on Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth. But that's just stay tuned to that. I would say if you're interested in either one of those trips, don't book anything until you see what we have planned, because you're probably going to want to be a part of what we're doing. We make the tailgate process so simple, so easy, especially as an away fan. I know before we started doing these trips and I'd go, I just have to find a bar or maybe grab a six pack and walk around, right. You know, I mean, get in the stadium early. This is fun. I mean, who doesn't want to go to Nashville, you know, as much as it smells like mayonnaise and, you know, it's a terrible place to live and all of that. There is some fun to be had there. So who doesn't want to go to a city where there's some fun to be had with 300-400 people that are a lot like you? That's what my advice right now. Unfortunately, none of that is finalized. Like the event is finalized. That's kind of the next thing on the list. We're really, really close though. Looking at packages for tickets and tailgating for both San Diego and Nashville for the Thursday night game.
Well, let's talk about the event that is finalized.
Yeah.
August 26th, the Bold City Brigade Bowl, the BCB Bowl. What exactly is it, and what do we expect from this?
So I mentioned a little bit about how this is the five-year anniversary, and at the end of the last season, we had kind of what was a mourning period because we had put so much into the season, I think, as fans, as the group. I, myself, and a lot of us needed some time to recharge. I didn't think about Bold City Brigade. I barely thought about the Jaguars for a couple months. When we reset and we said, okay, we got to start getting ready for 2015, what are our plans? What are our aspirations? What do we want to do? That's the point it hit us. Holy cow, this is 5 years.
Right.
This thing's been around for 5 years. We're still alive. That's impressive. and the levels to which it's grown is also impressive. So we wanted to do something that was befitting of everything that we've accomplished. And so we always throw a charity event in the off season, and we generally throw a season kickoff event. It was we went through a few iterations of the charity event for the spring. It didn't happen. So we ended up having to say, okay, well, wait a minute. Why don't we just combine the both and throw a massive five-year anniversary party for charity? And once we kind of came to that, it was okay, started making lists, possible venues, places we want to do it, what we want to call it, what the theme would be. And we kept coming back to this idea of a kind of like a faux ball, right? I mean, because it's an evening out, and it's going to be a really fun evening out. And we're encouraging people to dress up kind of faux formal, Jag formal, get creative with it. But at the same time, that's not us. I mean, we give away T-shirts, not cardigans, right? Like, so at the end of the day, if people just want to show up in a Jags polo or a BCB T-shirt, yeah, it's that kind of event too. And so we had that theme, and then it was like, okay, what's the charity? And almost immediately I said, well, Blake's got a foundation now. They're literally in the history of our organization, BCB, there hasn't been a player that we've aligned with so closely as Blake. He's one of us, basically. You know, I mean, for a lot of our members, they identify with him as a person. Growing up in Orlando, the way he dresses, I mean, I have a picture with him at Lemon Bar. We basically wear the same stuff. Like, I mean, like but and then on another level, we were there when he was drafted. Over 100 of us were there when he was drafted, and that's special too. So we feel this special connection to him, and so we approached him. And he was all about it, just like he's always been kind of all about supporting us in one way or another. And he basically said, let's do it, you know, just keep me posted. And I think that's where it went to. And then I went to the Jags. I said, hey, by the way, we'd like to throw a party in the new club section.
Right.
And after they picked their jaw up off the floor, they said, okay. I said, and by the way, we've got Blake on board already. And and they said, okay. And so, you know, the pitch to them was, hey, let us kind of do what we did with the pools a few years ago. Let us help you promote this amazing new venue space, sure, that you have, and really throw a proper party there and all the promotion that's going to come along with it. So that's kind of how the event was built out. Where we lie with it now is, like you said, it's August 26th, and it's from 8 to 11 p.m. It's very much a faux formal event. We're going to have a full-on red carpet with photo opportunities on it as you come in. It's $30. $30 is the cost, but that includes a lot of stuff. It includes your parking, because anytime you're throwing something down there, to the extent that we're throwing it, you know, it's the city, it's Jags, it's SMG, it's all those things. So parking, we had to buy out two lots. So your parking is included in that. You're also getting your first beverages included, which... you know, I've gotten a lot of questions about beverages inside the stadium. Is it normal stadium pricing? You know, are you going to pay $8, $9, $10 for a Bud Light? It's not. It's scaled down a little bit. So $5, $6 for a Bud Light, then it goes up from there for craft beer, house wine.
And it's going to charity.
And yes, all the proceeds from the $30 ticket after we pay this large bill to host it in this beautiful, shiny new venue. After we pay all the bills that we have, every single dime is going to Blake and his foundation. And so it's our hope to get over 1,000 people so that we can really give him a proper check. You know, I mean, because it's going to be a fun night whether we get 600 or 6,000. We'll have a blast, but the more people we get there, the more impactful we can actually be with the charitable side of it.
And it'll be a great opportunity for folks to see the U.S. Ashore Clubs for the first time, as they're going to be spectacular this year. That's where it'll take place. If you want to find out more or you just want to sign up because you've already found out enough, go to boldcitybrigade.com/BCBball to find out more about it, and you can buy your tickets right there online, whether you're a Bold City Brigade member or not, right?
Yeah, it's open to anyone. Just like anything we do, it's open to anyone. I mean, members have priority on things. But this one, the spirit of this is just to celebrate our group, celebrate each other. We're going to have a huge photo montage we're going to be collecting here in the next week or so, asking people to send in their photos from BCB events and trips in the past and seasons in the past. And that's all going to be playing on one of the large video boards. My guy, John Phillips, I got to give him a shout out. He's sponsoring one of those boards so we can have it on. And so they'll be on that. It'll be on every screen in this new East U.S. Assure Club. And it's a celebration. It's a celebration of Jaguars fans in concert with Blake.
And if you've never been a member of the Bold City Brigade, there's a great way to start your
career
to indoctrinate
off as a member, yourself.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This is a pretty big event. Say I was there for the 5th anniversary, and I've been there ever since.
Yes, it's probably the second biggest undertaking behind Tampa that we've ever done, just to give you an idea of scope of what this event, what's going into it, the financial liability potentially that we're taking on. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a great time. It's for a tremendous cause. There's a ton of value built into the ticket. We're going to have a massive raffle. The Jags have been great. Blake's been great. We've got a ton of raffle items that we're going to raffle off for charity as well. With your ticket, you get one raffle ticket free. So just by coming to the event, you have a chance to win things like some of the pairs of the old club seats, Blake autographs.
Nice.
Things like that. We're going to have a photo booth, two DJs, both inside and outside, because one of the coolest features of the new clubs, I can't wait for people to see these. I've been down there touring them, watching them be built, is the outside patios in these club sections. So it's an indoor-outdoor party, actually.
Well, they've known what they've been doing with some of the premium additions because they've sold them out. Everything that they've added as a premium-type seating option, they've done that, and which has been able to allow them to maintain ticket pricing in the general bowl, where it's been for a while now. So that's a plus, too, for Jaguar fans. Go to boldcitybrigade.com if you want to sign up for the Bold City Brigade, but if you want to learn more about the BCB Ball, it's boldcitybrigade.com/BCBball, and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Bold City Brigade, at Bold City Brigade. That's where you're going to find those guys on social media, as Cap said, very active there. Thanks for coming in. Hopefully, maybe we'll get you back in sometime before
anytime.
The ball, just to hype it up. And they'll, you know, is there a limit, by the way? Will it sell out? Is there a max?
Yeah, it's 1,000 right now. And,
okay.
And we'll have discussions at that point if we want to open up extra space within the clubs and kind of go that way. But we're focusing on 1,000. Ticket sales are off to a pretty good start. Don't wait. Oh, one last thing on
that.
If you sign up by August 5th, Friday, August 5th, you're automatically entered into, so a week from this Friday, if you sign up by then, you're automatically entered into a drawing to win your choice of either $500 or a season ticket in Section 124 with the BCB.
There you
go. So, I mean, it's incentive to get in there early and really pack this thing out.
All right, Cap, John Caputo, Bold City Brigade's Bold City Cap, the president of the Bold City Brigade in studio here with us. We appreciate the time this morning, man. Pretty good trio today. Thunder, lightning, and rain?
Listen, call me whatever you want to call me. I'll take that trio every day of the week. I'll bring up the rear there. That's fine.
We could add Storm Johnson to maybe complete the theme. But
I don't know if I want that, though. I might draw the line there.
We'll go with what we got, and we appreciate you coming by today, man.
Listen, the pleasure is all mine. Anytime I can spend some time with you guys, I love it.
He's full of it, but we appreciate it anyway. He's Cap, and thanks to Keenan McCardell. Thanks to Jimmy Smith. That's a pretty good day. First day in pads for the Jags next Tuesday. August 2nd, tomorrow, Tony. They're back on the field.
We're back.
Season ticket holders, we will see you out there as the air horn will be going off aplenty tomorrow. So Great job, Tyler Devitt, booking everything for today and getting Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith on just the day after the announcement of Jimmy's upcoming induction into the Pride of the Jaguars. All right, that'll wrap it up for us today. Thanks to our friends at Metro Rooter, our longtime Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, for all of our guests today, including, but not limited to, Bold City Cap here in studio. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Stick around. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Dandy sandwiches, Dandy subs, now Dandy breakfast sliders as well. You're not going to beat the price on these. $3 is going to get you two Dandy breakfast sliders, and they eat big. Two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun. They call it baby brioche. Absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go, and for the price, you're absolutely not going to beat it. I'm not a big fan of the spicy food. This sandwich is just the right amount of kick to kickstart your day. Hey, how about new sandwich wraps for lunch? You want a little light, healthier alternative? Dandy's got you covered. They've got the variety. They've got the flavors. They've got the stuff you want, and they've got it at incredible prices as well. Head into your local Circle K and Kangaroo Express. Head straight to the fresh case. Lunchtime, tailgating, anytime you're hungry, anytime you're on the go. Don't waste your lunch hour in the drive-thru. Head right to the fresh case at the Circle K or the Kangaroo Express. Look for Dandy and the Anytime Deli line. Do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.